If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the call of God. Have you been called? So let's take a deep breath. And just center in your divine inner core essence. And we invite the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to illumine our minds with truth. And we ask of the way shower, the Master Jesus the Christ, give the transmission tonight and also work the right understanding into our minds and hearts so that indeed we may be born again of the Spirit. You know, after careful appraising of the current overall condition of our ground crew, it kind of seems obvious to me that a majority of us are not yet spiritually regenerated, or as Jesus phrased it, born again of the Spirit. And Jesus said that unless we were born again of the Spirit, we could not enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to describe the kingdom of heaven as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now that would be a definitive for our entrance or ascension or rapture up into the Christ consciousness state of what we have called the fifth dimension, the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God, etc. So let's look at that a little bit. First of all, it's impossible for us to be righteous or to live a righteous life under our own steam. We are born again not through our own efforts any more than we could be born of our own efforts without some assistance in the physical dimension, you know, in terms of your physical birth. So it is by faith that we enter righteousness. It's by faith that this inner transformative work is worked supernaturally through the process of our being born again of the Spirit. In that process, the righteousness of Christ is we are clothed with that. We become righteous. Not because of what we do, of our own efforts, but because of what he has already accomplished out of the time-space continuum and within the time-space continuum, bridging, as I mentioned before, many, many shows, bridging that higher dimensional realm from whence we fell in consciousness into entrapment in matter. He bridged it as a living bridge to become the way, the truth, and the life. So that as we walk in that way, already we are reestablished in our original divine unified state of right relationship to the divine. That fall is completely rectified. It's rectified by the action of Jesus the Christ. And part of that is the total transformation of our hearts and our lives. And we know, despite our best efforts, there's no way we can possibly transform our heart on our own. Nor do we have the spiritual stamina and enlightenment to really walk a totally Christ-conscious life on, again, our own steam. We're not designed to be self-sufficient in that. We're called sheep, duh, because without the shepherd, we wander all over the place and get lost. That's how bright we are. So Why do I say that it looks to me like some of our, or majority of us, are not authentically spiritually regenerated or born again? Well, because so few, it seems to me, if any, are really walking in victory, are really manifesting a life that's delivered from the various forms of bondage that entrap most people. And moreover, there's a great lacking in spiritual fruit in so many lives. And the spiritual fruit, of course, is love, joy, peace, faithfulness, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-discipline. How many of us are manifesting those four signs of spiritual fruit in our lives? I mean, consistently as a way of life. I mean, just the love walk alone, if we could truly walk it, would fulfill all of the others. But we have grievances. We get angry. We get offended. We get put off. We go out in our own personal vendettas. We go into road rage and everything else. That's not walking a love walk. So Jesus used an analogy of himself as being a vine, like a vine, and that we were like the branches, which if in contact with the vine, staying connected to the vine, Jesus in this analogy, then we would bear much fruit, but that apart from him, we could do nothing. In other words, you shrivel up and become dry when you're not connected to the vine of Jesus. So, I'm going to be very blunt in this particular show because I received an email today which just really, really moved my heart with compassion. And it was from a very, very respected and well-known light worker who mentioned that in the experience of this particular light worker, that many people were falling away. They were becoming disillusioned. They were becoming disenchanted with the whole ascension and the whole spiritual path thing, and they were beginning to wonder if any of it was really real. And they were becoming tired and depressed. And that made me so sad because I realized that these precious souls have simply not been born again of the Spirit. They're trying to do all of these New Age approaches to ascend, to raise their vibrations, to be loving, to be of service, to do their mission. But you know what? There's a certain pecking order in the spiritual dimension. And it begins with a door, which Jesus said, "I am the door that no man can shut." So what's happened is that so many of us know a lot about Jesus, or Sananda, as some of us like to call him, but many of us have never truly known him personally, nor cultivated an intimate relationship with him. And if you don't know the Lord, then you don't know who you are, because Jesus simply modeled our higher nature and everything that the Father had intended for every single one of us to embody. So if you don't know the Lord, you don't know yourself. If you don't know yourself, you don't know your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, you don't know your function. And if you don't know your purpose or your function or the Lord or yourself, you certainly cannot manifest an empowered walk of victory, deliverance, empowerment, and the mission. So, you know, if you haven't married someone, you don't have the legal power of authority to use his name or to operate under his authority. The wedding analogy, you know, in terms of our relationship with the Lord is really a good one here, because you don't use your husband's name or act in his authority unless you are legally married. And to God, all of humanity is the divine bride. And the Christ consciousness is the divine bridegroom. And we're in that stage in the prophetic scenario in which it's just prior to the time of the rapture, when the bride is caught up to be with the divine bridegroom, and that higher consciousness. It's the first manifestation of the threefold return of Christ. And we are to be caught up in that higher consciousness and transformed in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, we activate into that fifth dimensional body of light that doesn't age, that doesn't die, that doesn't go back into the old entropy of the third density, but goes on with the Christ consciousness into the higher dimensional divine realms that are the imperishable star realms of eternity. This is the full deliverance and catching away and reestablishment of the membrane of human consciousness that fell into entrapment sometime during the age of Atlantis, when we fell into third density and were locked by the order of Melchizedek to this particular planetary sphere so that we could not exit the system. And only when Jesus the Christ came in from outside the system, being an extra, an ultra-dimensional, extraterrestrial, divine embodiment that was not part of the fallen DNA, because he was able to come in from outside the system and bridge it without losing his awareness of self, he becomes the way, the truth, and the life that we can all follow as an example, following his directives, and exit the system through grace. This is what makes the path, the way that Jesus offers, the way of grace and not the way of works. You know, all of the gurus, I don't mean to offend anyone here, but I have to say it like I've been given to say it. Only one was appointed to be that way and that Savior, and that was Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, which is another name for Messiah. So the gurus can't save you. The mantras and meditations can't save you. Your refuge at the feet of an avatar can't save you, or Buddha, or praying five times a day, or belonging to a church. Many people are calling themselves Christians, but they're Christians only in terms of the church register. But they have never really, truly been born again of the Spirit. Likewise, psychics and channeled masters and angels and shaman and rituals can't save you. Nor can UFOs and space beings. Not one of these were given that job from before the foundation of this world. No. Only one was sent from the highest divine throne realms by the absolute creator to bridge the fallen realms back into the eternal, and that is Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, actually of Palestine, because he was a Nazarene, which Nazareth did not exist at that particular time. So he is a Nazarene of Palestine. So Jesus alone came to redeem and rescue all human souls. He didn't come for Christians. He didn't come for any group alone or exclusively. He came for everyone after he had completed his work on the cross, which was to redeem and restore the lost of the house of Judah. After that, after his ascension and resurrection and ascension, then the door was thrown open for all of humanity. So, like the physical proof that exists of life on other planets and the reality of spacecraft in our skies, there is even more physical proof of the saving, transforming power of Jesus Christ. There really, truly is such a plethora of proof. But you know what? The only real, true sin, underline S-I-N, is that despite all of the evidence that is proclaimed by even nature itself, mankind tends to disbelieve, even in the face of the most blatant evidence that Jesus the Christ was exactly who he said he was, the Son of the living God. People still disbelieved him and discounted him and attributed his works to the devil. Yeah, Jesus Christ, they attributed his works to the devil. Who? All the lawgivers of the time. The teachers, quote, of righteousness of the time. The rabbis, the people of the synagogue. You know, he came unto his own and he was rejected of his own. And yet, look what has happened to the world by his 3-year ministry. So I invite all of you who may doubt to do some research and listen to some of the millions of testimonies worldwide of people who have had a divine encounter with a true Savior, and observe what happened in their lives. So, back to our topic, the call of God. Have you been called? You know, there is a way that seems right to our human thinking, but it is a way leading to death rather than life. For the wages of sin is death. And what is sin? Well, again, it's the mental and emotional, willful separation from God. The mind that has not been renewed in the higher consciousness of the Christ and the Holy Spirit by nature is in adversarial positioning to the divine, to the Holy Spirit. It's a rebellious, the ego mind is rebellious. It doesn't want to be exposed into the light. It doesn't want to submit to the authority of God. It doesn't want to obey. It wants to keep you in illusion, division, samsara, and discord, because that's how it thrives, through the negativity. No one who is born of the Spirit, truly born of the Spirit, will do evil. Not one. If you're truly born of the Spirit of the living God, you can't do crime. You can't murder. You can't rob. You can't lie. You can't covet. You can't commit adultery. You can't do it. It just won't arise in you to do that. Doesn't mean that you can walk all the time without falling, but there is no willfulness in you to disobey. You may disobey or fall because you still have weaknesses. We all have predisposed inclinations towards certain weaknesses. But that's why you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes to indwell you. The minute you're born again, there is the Spirit of truth that comes as a very awake, activated, quickened sense of conscience that simply will not allow you to go against the divine highest path. You will be pricked with such a sense of conscience that, you know, you'll course correct because it's like it's so painful not to follow your higher nature. I've spoken about this on other shows. But it cannot be discounted how powerful and sensitive your conscience becomes. So each one of us will experience a divine call at some point in our life. The call is inevitable, but may come disguised as something else. The call of God may come through a TV program or a film, through the internet or chat room, through a friend, a book, or a gathering you attend. It may also come as a repetitive dream, inner nudge, or vision. Or the call may come through an inner emptiness that you seek in every way to fill, but never succeed until you find the real answer. There's a saying that we have a Jesus-sized hole that only Jesus can fill. And I personally, in my own life, have found that is so absolutely true. Therefore, the call, it may come in response to your own crying out in despair from the deepest and blackest pit of desperation. But the call of God will come, it is certain. And your time is already set. Only your response is not predetermined. And why is that? Because this is a free will zone. You have free will here. And no one, not even God Almighty, will violate your free will. So, if you will, let's just take a perusal over your life. Let's just do an eagle flyover of your life. And for a moment, see if you can pinpoint the time when you heard your call, if you did. And after we go off the air, you may wish to journal about your spiritual life. How and when did the call of God come to you, if it has? Or maybe, you know, maybe this radio program tonight is your call. One thing is for certain. If you still feel empty, if you are still addicted to some feel-good substance, if you are still searching everywhere to find meaning and purpose in your life, if you are still trying to become liberated spiritually or ascend or set free of bondage or are still seeking outside of yourself to find God, and most of all, this is the most telling point, if you still don't know for certain where you are going to go when you die, then you have not heard or heeded or accepted the call of God. You know, I had so many dreams when I was trying to find my walk in life. And as you know, I went everywhere, studied with everyone, read every book, joined all kinds of religions. Spent a lot of time in India with the gurus, and I kept having these dreams of being on stage with no script. But because I'm a good actor, I thought, wow, I can pull it off, no problem. Big problem. The script, symbolically in the dream, was the Bible. And no, I had never really studied the Bible. Hello. Also, I had loose shoes, or I would lose my shoes. I'd have one shoe on. Shoe represents spiritual understanding. And likewise, I kept seeing visions of Jesus, and he was always weeping. Why was he weeping? I used to ask myself, why are you weeping? And it was because I wanted God with every fiber of my being, but I was convinced that I had grown beyond the need for Jesus and the Bible, and I love Jesus, yeah, you know, like you love, you know, all the ascended masters and the hierarchy, and I was always looking for a master. And, but I hadn't come to the master. I hadn't accepted the gift which is freely offered. And so, Jesus would appear to me only from the waist up. Huh, that's symbolic, because I had the idealism, but it was not grounded. It was not walking in me and through me and as me. And the other dream I kept having was that I was constantly feeding people, but there was never any nutritious, good food for me to eat. And I was looking everywhere for nutrition. But the only time I finally stopped having that dream was when I got very involved with singing in the choir for the Benny Hinn Ministries and traveling with the Healing Crusades, which changed my whole life. And for the first time, I started having dreams where I was with Benny Hinn in his home with his mother and his brothers and sisters, and his mother was making fresh baked bread and covering it with thick homemade butter and telling me, here, this is what you need to eat. And I said, wow, this is real food. And I never again had those dreams again, because I really started to consecrate my life and rededicate it totally to following the Master, studying his teachings, and being the absolute best possible disciple of Jesus I could possibly be through his grace. So, wow, what is the call of God? Well, the first call of God is for you to clearly see yourself and really see how far you've wandered astray. You know, it says in the Bible that the person who says that they do not have sin is fooling themselves. They're living in deception, and they're under a lie. They're lying. Because it says in the Scriptures, all have wandered after their own way. All have fallen into sin. Not one of us has not. That's why we needed the advent of Jesus the Christ, to remove that stain of sin, which is what his atoning blood shed on the cross was designed to do. That is the only stain remover that removes completely the sin of willful, rebellious separation from the knowledge of the presence of God. That wipes your slate clean as if you had never fallen the minute you ask him to do that. So if you don't realize you have a problem, you're not going to be seeking an answer. And that's, again, a sign of the times. You know, we all think we don't have any sin. Our lives are an absolute mess, and sin means to miss the mark of excellence to which we were originally created and intended to manifest by God. So who is living a life that is exemplifying the excellence of the Christ, that is truly a little Christ walking the earth? There's a lot of people that have the mistakes of thinking they are Christ, maybe a master or ascended master or guru or whatever, but if you examine their lives, they're just as messed up as everyone else. That's like the blind leading the blind, and then they both fall in the ditch. So, you know, these are things that it's time that we really, really look at them, because if we don't get filled with that Holy Spirit, we're not going to have the power that we need to go the course that we have to go at this time. It's getting more and more and more difficult, because even though, idealistically speaking, we are moving into the higher dimension, as long as we have a human body which has been imprinted with that fallen DNA, that fallen code, we still have a proclivity to veer off into the wrong direction. We have released in the world today, according to Jesus, so many false prophets, so much deception. In fact, deception is the overall sign of these times, and so many who claim that they are Christ. So, deception, let's look at false prophet. What's a false prophet? A false prophet is anyone who points to a way other than through Jesus and his atoning, perfect work accomplished on the cross for you and me and everyone. Anyone who teaches you something different from that is a false prophet. Not because I say so, but because that's what Jesus defined. You know, you've got to read the four Gospels. You know, get it directly from Jesus. And then sit with some of your questions, like I've done. I ask him a question, and then I sit with my journal and my Bible and a pen. And, you know, he'll speak to me just as clearly as anything, with a revelation that goes so much deeper than a Bible study. Although Bible studies are very, very important, because you need to know the Scriptures. If you haven't read the textbook, you're really flying blind. And if you haven't read the operational manual for your new car, you're not going to know how to operate half the systems. And when you're born again of the Spirit, you have a new life, a new heart, a new mind, a freshly washed slate with no reference to your previous past, your previous life. It's as if that person no longer exists. You are an entirely new creation in Christ. And you need an operational manual. Many, many people fall away after they accept Christ because they simply are not discipled and taught how to walk in the empowered appropriation of what they have now as their operational template. When you are born again, you have certain things that come with that are so powerful that, excuse me, if you don't know what they are, you haven't a clue how to operate in your new gifts. Number one, let me not jump ahead here. There's several points I want to actually cover before I get into that. But what we're looking at is a life that is empowered, that comes not from your own ego self trying to do this and trying to accomplish that, but emptying yourself of your own self-definition and learning to listen and obey the Spirit of truth within you and be led of the Spirit. You can't manipulate or control the Holy Spirit. You can the psychic levels. You can, you know, those are the manipulative levels. But you can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. You're either Spirit-filled or you're not. And to be Spirit-filled, you need first to accept the Lord and then ask Him to baptize you by fire. So if you're at that point that I've described where you feel empty and you want your next step, if I've described you and if you want what I'm talking about, then say this prayer after me. Say it with all your heart and mean it. Lord Jesus, that's right, say Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask you to take charge of my life. I put you in the driver's seat, and I ask that you teach me the truth directly from within and guide me in every step of my life. I ask you to wash me white as snow from all of the mistakes and sins and errors and transgressions of my past, the mean and hurtful things I have done to myself and others, every thought, word, and deed that has offended God or gone against what you would have me be and exemplify. I ask with all my heart that you forgive me. I accept that you are at this moment saving my soul, washing me white as snow, transforming my heart, giving me a new life and a fresh start in a new direction. I commit myself to you and I accept you as my Lord, Savior, and Master. I will do my very best to the power of your Holy Spirit to follow you all the days of my life. And I know that as I do, the day that I die, should the rapture not come before my death, that I will be with you the next instant, face to face, in paradise. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and being my Master. Amen. Now what you've done, beloved, if you've really done this with complete sincerity, several things have happened to you. Every one of them is supernatural. Every one of them is a divine bestowal and gift. Number one, you are a brand new person, and the old you is no more. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your history has been. The scriptures say that it is remembered no more. It is wiped off your slate. Number two, your name was written in the divine throne realms in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Number three, you have eternal life in Jesus and with Jesus in the highest divine throne mansions of the Father. And the second you die, Jesus has promised to personally meet you and take you to those higher divine throne realms to live with him where he lives for eternity. Number four, you are born again, a blood-purchased, spirit-filled, co-equal heir with Christ Jesus. You're an heir of the kingdom, the Father's kingdom, and everything he has is yours and at your disposal. You are spiritually seated with Christ Jesus, with the Father, in the highest divine throne realms, even though your body continues to complete your life cycle on earth. So you're already made perfect in God. You're already made righteous through the action of Christ. You are already restored to the kingdom. And it doesn't much matter what happens from this point onward, other than you keep following the Lord with steadfast faith and devotion. That's all you do. And the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do that. Number five, you have a new heart and a new life and a clean slate. And again, you are made righteous through Christ, not of your own efforts, but through what he has already done for you. You are saved from the wrath to come, which means that we will be lifted beyond the tumult of the final conflict that comes into the lower realms as they resolve the ancient dualities and polarities and the fight and battle between the dark forces and the forces of Christ eventually come to play out upon the lowest dimension of the earth. But you will not be there when that happens. You have been restored to your pre-fallen kingdom inheritance and rights. Now you need to learn how to operate in the empowerment of those rights. Again, you're going to find that the things that you really liked before that were not part of the higher divine program, you won't like them anymore. You just will not have the same kind of taste anymore. Everything changes the moment you're born again of the kingdom of God. Your whole inner nature is transformed. And it's gradual in terms of getting that born-again spirit homogenized down into your mind, into your emotions, into your physical body, into your physical habits. But my experience was that it was very, very, very rapid. Of course, I've been on the path for a long time. So certain spiritual things were very much part of my nature. But there again, I was totally different after I was radically born again. Totally different. I mean, even my appearance changed, amazingly so. So the next thing that is important for you to do as soon as possible is to get water baptized. Baptized means to be fully immersed. And the full submersion is symbolic of the baptism of dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, and rising with Christ as you come up out of the water to a new life in his resurrection. And this is a powerful ritual which, while it doesn't save you in itself, throughout the Acts of the Apostles, every time a person came to conversion, immediately they were baptized. And it was a powerful message that goes down It touches to every level of your being, including your basic self. And you know, don't worry about it if you've been already baptized before, maybe as a child, or maybe even in full submersion, but perhaps you fell away from the faith. When you make your recommitment to Christ, you can get baptized again. In fact, I've been baptized 6 times. So there's no limit to the number of times you're baptized. But it's, again, it's a powerful symbol of a new level of commitment to God and to Christ. So next, get an easy-to-read version of the Bible. The New International Version is good. There's a lot of good ones out there. Just go shopping and pick one. Let Jesus pick you the perfect Bible. And let him teach you about himself. There's no other book that's going to tell you about Jesus from those historical writings but the Bible. I mean, you could go to the Gospel of Thomas and some of the apocryphal scripts, but then those can lead you off into other directions until you get a full understanding of the gospel message of Jesus. And that's what the Bible presents for you in the New Testament, is the, you know, cuts to the chase. You don't have all the auxiliary stories. You just have the main message of salvation. So learn the promises and blessings that are yours now that you have a new life in Christ. And your period of discipleship is really important. If you don't learn how to operate in your new walk, you tend to get confused and wander off or try to mix too many things together. You know, in your new life, in your new walk, you don't need very much. You just need to follow the Lord and learn what he wants you to do and obey him. And all of these lesser voices, you know, you don't reference to angels and ascended masters and this and that and the other thing. You know, you just stay on your path with your eyes on the Lord Jesus, and he will bring to you the things that you need to understand at that point. But first, get really soaked in his teachings, in his word, and to where it's automatic. That's the way you think. That's the way you reference your life. That's the way you problem solve. That's the way you do everything. You find out what he has to say about it, and you do it. Very, very, very simple. And then you have a path that is, it's all orderly. It's laid out for you. I find so many people in the New Age, they have a smattering of this and a smattering of that and a little dab of this and a little dab of that, and they think God is maybe a force or a universal mind, and they're just all over the place, and they're totally confused in most cases, and they don't have their ducks lined up. Because you don't have a system that's been laid out, that's been proven for generations and generations and generations to work the miracle signs and wonders, to be effective, to transform your life permanently, because there isn't that consistency, you don't have the fruit, which is what happens when you really are discipled, you're trained, you're taught how to operate in concert with the teachings of Jesus. If you ask him and pray to him, he will guide you and direct you to the right mentors, the right churches, the right home, study groups, whatever. Don't get into cults where you're following somebody else and Jesus. You know, keep yourself, your eyes single, and follow a path where people stick to the teachings of Jesus and the what's validated by the scriptures. You know, if you get off in a non-scriptural kind of thought system, again, it's not consistent. And you tend to get lost, or there's gaps in the understanding. There's like a very, very precise ordering of how the codes of light fit. And Jesus, when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father save by me. He was laying out a sequential unfoldment in this higher walk that we are being called to walk. Now bear in mind, all of the ascended masters that you look to, without exception, are disciples of the Christ. All of the angels that are truly non-fallen angels bow their knee to the Christ and serve you and I, who are the heirs of salvation. That's their job. But they have to stand in the presence of God, and you get to sit with God. So the angels, even though they never fell into material existence, are not honored to the same degree that a saved, born-again human soul is. So that is what you have as your operational template now that you, if you have this evening, made that most important of all decisions in your life. Again, if I want you to know and know for certain that the most important call of God is for you to receive this gift of God that is for everyone on this planet. And that's the gift of spiritual regeneration. To be regenerated means to be restored and renewed to the original divine pre-fallen template. That entirely new life. And again, the blood was shed to remit, that means to blot out and cancel the sin of the fall. So you no longer, when you have, there's no condemnation on you now. Nothing can condemn you or accuse you now. Because if you fall or if you are weak in some area, that's what the blood is there for, to cover that and to blot out that transgression. So you just simply say, whoops, I'm sorry, I stepped out here. I call on the blood of Jesus, and I step free through grace. And you just keep getting up and keep following the Master. And you don't have to worry. Once you're saved. You know, you can't get unsaved. You can backslide and you can fall away. And cause yourself unnecessary problems if you don't stay in fellowship with like-minded believers and if you don't stay in the biblical word. You need to really get your mind transformed by studying and reading and prayer and meditation and contemplation on what you've studied. Very, very important. So this is the new covenant written in the blood of Jesus. This supersedes and transcends the previous Vedic teachings, the Buddhist teachings, the all of the other Mosaic teachings that came under the law of karma, the law of reincarnation, the law of all of the laws. You are lifted beyond the law through grace, even though the laws aren't wiped out, but they're fulfilled. They're fulfilled in Jesus. You don't have to keep offering blood sacrifice of animals. Jesus was the blemishless lamb that fulfilled all of the need for sacrifice to cover to cover the sins. In the old times, you know, they had to offer sacrifices every single day for every single transgression. I mean, it was really a bloody mess, those temples, those synagogues. Constant offering of animals. That's why Jesus came as a blemishless lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. So this is a part of your understanding of how you can truly enter the kingdom of heaven appropriately, actually, literally, and legally without trying to come up through some other way that was not divinely appointed, and which is going to end you in a cul-de-sac. You know, there's only one person in all of history that made the commitment, to take you home to the Father, to the highest dimensional planes. Nobody else. Only He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And to whomever the Father has given into my care and keeping, I will never let them go. So when you are saved utterly to the uttermost. So this is how we enter this higher kingdom of heaven, this fifth dimensional realm, this Terra Christa, this new earth. And this is for you. It's for me. It's for every one of us. And this is the great good news that is called the gospel. That's what that means, good news. And that is the good news, is that while we were dead in sin, Jesus came and loved us so much that he restored us while we were asleep, while we were dead, while we were goofing off, while we were doing all sorts of horrible criminal actions. He just covered us by offering his life and his blood to the last drop to completely restore you and save you and give you a new life, an eternal life. So I think this is a very, very, very powerful, powerful message. It's one that I have touched on, but never given in such a direct manner as I have this evening. Because I find that you need strong meat now. You've had the milk, you've had your ears tickled, you've had the dancing around in the New Age playpen. But many of you now have tossed all the toys out of the playpen, and you're hollering, and you just want God. You don't want the toys. You don't want the hype and the hyperbole. You want the real, unvarnished, pure truth of God that will save you and set you free. So Jesus came into the world not to judge the world. Jesus didn't come to judge us, but that through his coming, he could set the captives free. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That would be all of the sheep who are caught in this time, space, matter, and energy continuum in this particular matrix within the quantum universe that we call Earth. And the Earth chain of worlds, because each Earth has multiple levels of, like our subtle bodies. So all of the earth has been covered with the glory of Jesus the Christ. And one day he will make this earth his footstool. He will actually rule from this particular planet at one time with us. We will all be part of that ruling administrative council. That's you and me and everyone. We will be part of the ruling of the hierarchy in terms of these lower kingdoms, which will be restored to the kingdom of God and his Christ. And so that is you and that is me. Because when the Father looks at us, the born-again us, he sees only Jesus the Christ, Son of God and Son of Man. That's you, that's me, that's all of us. He only sees the one. Because in the beginning, before the many came into manifestation, there was the one word. And out of that one word, everything that was came to be. And the word became flesh and dwelt upon this earth. And that's who we are in our highest divine truth. We are sons of God. And we earn that title when we become totally spirit-filled. So the next thing that you ask for is for Jesus the Christ to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for that right now. Deep breath. Lord Jesus, I ask that every single person listening to the sound of my voice that has received you into their heart and life, that has been born again, that they be filled from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet with your Holy Spirit. And may they have evidence of this infilling by speaking in the heavenly language, in the tongues of angels, in the Holy Spirit's prayer language that will come to them each in their own way, in their own timing. But I ask that everyone that has received you tonight be baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Lord, and keep filling them to overflowing. And may they go forth and be bountiful in fruit to your glory, that the kingdom of God may be walking in them, through them, and as them, and that the joy of their heart be great, and the peace of their children be as well great. Because this wonderful covenant covers your household and your children and your family and everyone. But each must receive it individually. So we thank you, Father, that you've given this awesome gift. And again, with all of our heart, with all of our love, we thank you. So let's go out chanting the beautiful name of Jesus in two syllables. Deep breath. Jesus. 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 Adonai.